More earnings coming out.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. It's the morning open, a check on the economy just minutes into the trading week now. Aetna, not so glad about a dip in profits. Verizon, the first to come this week among the telecoms. Thought lending was loosening? Not so fast. First, where's Wall Street? Mixed right now. The S&P and Dow both down about a tenth of a percent. The NASDAQ up a tenth of a percent. We got word from Aetna that profits there fell by 28%. It blames higher medical expenses in the commercial business. Asian shares closed higher today, and European markets are mixed as well right now. Sam Stovall is chief strategist for S&P Equity Research. He's joining us live from New York this morning. Hi, Sam.
Good morning, Steve.
So Verizon reported in just a few minutes ago, quarterly profits there down 7%, the first of the telecoms coming out this week. Doesn't everyone and his mother have a cell phone, Sam? Shouldn't they be like bursting at the seam right now?
Well, that's a good question, but actually most of the earnings and revenues come from landlines or the telephones you have in your home. And because fewer new homes are being built, plus we're seeing an increase in unemployment, that's why we're seeing the decline in earnings.
All right, I'm going to ask you to hang on a second, Sam, because we keep hearing about a recovery and the credit markets opening up, but lending among banks is still pretty anemic. We're going to hear from Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman.
Wall Street Journal analysis shows total lending by the country's biggest banks fell nearly 3% in the second quarter. That's despite billions in government bailout money. Mark Zandi of Moody'sEconomy.com says without the bailout, lending would have fallen even more, and he says some of the pullout is just from being prudent.
Lenders did extend out too much credit, provided loans to businesses and households that probably shouldn't have gotten it. But I also think banks are very reluctant to extend credit to businesses, households that in more normal times they would give credit to.
And that's reflected in mortgage lending as well, which makes another number coming out this morning seem a bit of a contradiction. Economists predict new home sales rose around 3% in June. Turns out even with bank lending down, home prices have fallen so much that sales are finally picking up. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Back with Sam Stovall from S&P. And Sam, all this money to bail out banks to get loans back on the front burner, but everyday people are really feeling the pinch. Why are the big guys getting relief, but it seems like no one else is?
Well, I think the question really is, where is that money going and is it truly being lended? I think that lending is taking place, but now it's back to the old model where you lend it to those people who really do have the ability to pay it back. And then also in the home front area, that most of the lending is coming from the government through Fannie Mae, et cetera, and that's where they are being bailed out.
Or any maybe loan modification programs, things like that.
Exactly right. So basically the consumer is trying to be aided by the government just the way the banks are being helped out.
All right. Sam Stovall, thank you for joining us this morning. We do appreciate it.
Happy to be here.
All right. Ben Bernanke got a lot of questions about small businesses and why they're allowed to fail while the AIGs and the Citigroups get a bailout. Bernanke told a Kansas City town hall meeting last night that he didn't want to be the Fed chairman to preside over the second Great Depression. So he, quote, held his nose when bailing out big financial companies to the tune of hundreds of billions of dollars. PBS's Jim Lehrer moderated the discussion that'll air this week in three separate installments.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thriven Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thriven.com.
There's a two-day meeting between U.S. and Chinese officials. It kicks off today in Washington, what officials are calling a strategic and economic dialogue. Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner is there, as is Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, President Obama as well. There's just something about the relationship, though, between the United States and China, how we deal with one another and how the Chinese deal with our treasury. Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan is joining us now to talk about that relationship. Good morning, Alan.
Morning, Steve.
So what's up with this relationship? Who needs whom more?
Well, they both need each other a lot, and that's a big change over a few years ago because the United States used to be the global hegemon financially, to use a fancy word. and now it isn't.
China says in this dialogue that's happening this week that it would like both countries to unwind stimulus policies implemented to boost each economy. What's it mean by that?
The Chinese, as we know, the big buyers and holders of treasury securities, and you don't have to be a genius to see that the United States is in a situation where the value of these securities to China is going to decline. So if I were the Chinese and I cared about my investment, I'd want the United States government to stimulate a little less, save a little more, and preserve the value of the dollar.
So what would happen if China stopped buying them?
Well, I mean, it would be horrendous, but that's not how it would happen. It's not as if one day China would just say, we're not buying this anymore, because the people who run the Chinese central bank aren't stupid. And to say that would send the price of the dollar and the price of treasury securities plummeting, and they would hurt themselves. They would just do it gradually, which is what they're doing, asserting their equality with the United States, which is what they've been doing for months. And just go on. I mean, life is not television. There are not dramatic events. You just wake up one day and the financial markets and stuff has happened.
So where does this relationship go then, Alan?
Well, the Chinese theoretically need us as an outlet for their goods. We need them because someone's going to buy all these treasury securities. But when it ceases to be mutually beneficial, something bad is going to happen. And the Chinese are, you know, flexing their muscles, which is probably what I would do if I were Chinese. And it's going to go where it's going to go. But the United States has lost a lot of its freedom of maneuver, which is a point we've made here for a long time. And this is just another example of it.
Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan joining us this morning. Alan, thanks.
You're welcome, Steve.
Share your thoughts with us inside our website, marketplace.org, or online host and blogger Scott Jagow is there with the scratch pad inside the website marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.